We have a lot of our number who are out this morning. Joel and Brenda are at polishing the pulpit. Willard and Gail are there. David and Ashley are there. David's speaking up there this weekend. I know Kelly's there, and let's see who else went. There's a couple other people went. But anyway, have several others on vacation, and we have visiting with us this morning, Brother Jim Aaron. Every year there's new people in the congregation, so we want to introduce him from that standpoint. A lot of you already know him. We help to support the Louisville congregation where he's a full-time preacher. I met Jimmy through a mutual friend of ours maybe 15 years ago. He and Sheila and Gloria and I have been good friends ever since. The Louisville congregation is southwest of Augusta, Georgia. Some of you men who've passed through Fort Gordon, it's southwest of Fort Gordon, west of Vogel Nuclear Plant. It's in a rural community, but the congregation there is doing well, and we're grateful to have him here. We always look forward to them coming up, spending the weekend with us. We keep asking them to stay longer so we can show them our beautiful territory here, and Sheila has kind of penciled in next spring in April when she gets her... And the school system down there has their spring break. She said she's going to come up here, right? Anyway, Brother Jimmy Aaron preaches there for the Louisville congregation. We are glad to have him here. We know him as a faithful gospel preacher. Brother?
Thanks, sir. Good morning. Art is full of surprises. So glad to be here once again. Bring you greetings from the church that meets there in Louisville, Georgia at 232 Elm Street. As I told you before, it's not a nightmare on Elm Street. It's the Church of Christ on Elm Street. We hope and trust that Sheila will bring me with her if she comes back next spring, that first full week of April. They have a little golf tournament during that time in Augusta called the Masters. Maybe some of you have heard of it before. But once again, we do bring you greetings. We're very grateful for you. You know, Art was saying some men were out. I guess those who were out, they got the message that Jimmy would be preaching, so they knew to leave. You guys, unfortunately, must not have read the bulletin, so you're stuck with me. But I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for the work that you do here. I'm grateful for the support that you give to the place here, and I'm glad that it's an overabundance of support so that they might help support us and our efforts there in Louisville, as I know that you support not just us, but others as well. I want to commend you for your great work. It's a great thing to be able to take of your means and lay them aside so that God's message can be propagated throughout the entire world. It's also a great thing to know that I'm sure you take of that wealth and you share it among yourselves generously with those who might be in need. It's a great thing being a member of the Lord's body, a member of the Church of Christ. If there are any who are here this morning who are not a member of the Church of Christ, I want you to know that you are our honored guest. We hope and trust that after the end of this lesson, that you too will be as we are, a member of the one body that you can read about in the book called the Bible, the Church of Christ. We're told in Acts chapter 2 at verse number 42 that all of the saved on the day of Pentecost were added to the church. And we know that the only church existed was the one that had been promised by our Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18 when he said, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We know that Paul, in writing to the Romans in Romans chapter 16 and verse number 16, spoke of the churches of Christ, the congregations of Christ. What makes us that congregation is a love for the word of God, an abiding sincerity to stick with what thus saith the Lord. I've entitled this morning's lesson, Surprise, Surprise, Surprise. When I was a little boy, one of my favorite television shows was Gomer Pyle. Now some of you guys, if you don't have, we have a channel in Augusta called MeTV. If you don't have one of those older channels where you can just go back and catch all those shows, I mean, you're missing a great show. Gomer Pyle. USMC. Not going to hold it against him because he was a Marine. He should have been in the Air Force. That's the place to be. If you think I'm joking, ask Brother Joel when he returns. But he had this habit of always trying to surprise or outdo whatever Sergeant Vincent Carter had told him to do. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, Jimmy's got to make that work for me, and I'm going to try with this lesson. It just so happened that a few weeks ago, I was watching a Gomer Pyle episode, and I was studying at the same time from the Book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. You can be turning there if you would like, chapter 34. And I was reading about a young man by the name of Josiah, King Josiah. Now, let me get myself straight. You know, Paul wrote to us in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 4 that those things written before time were written for our learning. Our learning. So we can learn a lot from looking at the Old Testament, the things that were written before time. When you're turning your Bibles to the book of 2 Chronicles, and we're going to begin reading there this morning from the 34th chapter at verse number 1. I've got a lot of stuff. Both pages, both sides of the page are full, but it won't take as long as you might think it's going to take. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, I want to read it to you here in verses 1 through 7. Please listen attentively. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father, and in the 12th year he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and the images that were on the high places above them. And he cut down the groves and the carved images and the molten images. And he brake in pieces and made dust of them and strode them upon the graves of them that had sacrificed unto them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks around about. Verse 7. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Let me give you my first surprise. I was surprised years ago when I first read this, and I hope this is an encouragement to those of us who are young, including myself, still young at heart. Age doesn't matter with God. Age is but a number. That's all it is. This young man, Josiah, began reigning at the early and tender age of 8 years old. Just think about it. Can you imagine having an 8-year-old ruler or king? We might be better off. I guess it would depend upon who's giving that young 8-year-old advice. I find it very interesting that a lot of times we, who are the Lord's people, we mistakenly, I believe, give our youngsters a back seat. We don't utilize them as much as we should utilize them. We don't involve them as much as we should in the worship of God when they represent the purest of hearts, the purest of minds. Josiah, the Bible says here in the very first verse of our reading, was only 8 years old. And then it says in verse 3 that in the 8th year of his reign, which makes him how old? 16 years of age. 16 years old, and he does something that I think all young people should be encouraged to do. The Bible says here that he began to seek after God. Isn't that just wonderful? 16 years old, beginning to seek to do the will of God. And then the Bible further tells us that what he did at 20 years of old was even more outstanding. That he went about restoring the right worship of God. He couldn't do it, but just so far, as you'll see later on, but he went about destroying that which he knew was wrong. These things was wrong, so in the 12th year, which makes him about 20 years of age, he begins to purge Judah and Jerusalem of all the high places, the secret places where false worship was taking place. The Bible teaches us that God expects youthful service. We can read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 26 in verse number 3 of the 3rd chapter that Samuel was young when given to the Lord. Wasn't old. By the way, he was a baby, an infant, when given to God. Jesus on one occasion said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." Samuel's not alone. David was a young man. 1 Samuel chapter 17 at verse 33, verse 37. So young, in fact, that they laughed and scoffed at David, saying to David, you can't go up against this great giant Goliath. Of course, David proved them wrong. Joash, as we read already, was young, being just 8 years old, 16 when he began to seek after God. But the Old Testament is not alone with those who sought God as a young age. We can read in Timothy chapter, read about Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15. Paul writes that as he tells the story of Timothy, from a youth he'd learned the scriptures. He knew them. His mother and grandmother had taught him the word of God. Let me continue to encourage you as a congregation. And I remember being here, I think, a couple of years ago, and you had a nice program with the young kids coming and reciting scripture and singing songs of praise to our God. And I thought, man, how amazing. It's a great thing. Involve your children in that. Let them come out and take part of that, be a part of that. It's a great way to grow. What a surprise, being that young and serving God. How about a third surprise? I guess we should get the second one before the third, but that would be a surprise, right? How about a second surprise? The second surprise is that these people, when you read about what Josiah was involved in, they were worshiping a God that they didn't know how to worship. Listen to what the Bible says here. Skip down to verse 14 of that 34th chapter. I'll begin reading there. Listen closely. 2 Chronicles 34, verse number 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, I want you to observe something. People always worship God the way they want to worship God. It's not a good thing. God wants to be worshiped the way he wants to be worshiped. We cannot worship God the way we want to be worshiped. Skip down to verse number 21. You can stay in with him if you want, with her if you want to. Now, because I talk loud. I like hearing the little babies cry. I mean, that's a sign of growth. That's another small one that we can bring up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Only one little baby there at Louisville crying. Got to go out and try to find some more. When we read the 21st verse of this 34th chapter, it reads this way. Verse 21. Go inquire, this is Joash. Joash is saying, go inquire the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Now, this is very important. I want to deviate just for a moment. We who are members of the Lord's body, we always try, and rightfully so, trying to encourage those who are not members of the Lord's church, but who are worshiping God ignorantly. We're trying to encourage them to return or to turn to proper worship of God. I like to liken them to what Paul went through there in Acts chapter 17, beginning at verse 22 through verse 31. We won't turn there and read that, but I would encourage you to do so when you're home. When Paul traveled there and he went to Mars Hills, they had the people there were worshiping all the gods. And to make sure, paraphrasing the story, they even had a marker there, a shrine set up to the unknown God. And Paul would tell them, this God that you worship ignorantly, I want to declare this God unto you. That's our job today. That's your job and my job. To declare to the world which worships God ignorantly the proper way to worship God. We need to be mindful of one thing now. That can only be done if we know the law. If we know the word of God. If we have the word of God. See, when people don't have the word of God, according to Romans chapter 10, verse number 3, Paul wrote there, they then busy themselves going about to establish their own form of worship, their own form of righteousness. They do whatever feels good to them. And so you have this type of worship and that type of worship. My hope and my desire and my knowledge is that the same things we've done here this morning, those same things took place, are taking place right now at Louisville. There's a brother right now at this exact moment, if he hasn't had a very short lesson, they say preachers even shorter than I do, if Brother Dixon isn't through now, he's up preaching from the book called the Bible. He's preaching the word of God. They've sung songs to encourage each other, to uplift each other and build each other up. Songs that were sung a cappella without the accompaniment of musical instruments. The Bible teaches us that God desires those who worship him to worship him in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. The truth there is according to knowledge, according to the book called the Bible. Turn back once again to Chronicles, and I want you to notice something. These people here in Chronicles had a very bad habit. Now, we need to make sure that you get this point. This is not to our Baptist and Catholic and Methodist friends. We do need to encourage them, but this is to us. I want you to get this message. The people who had lost the Bible, the people who had lost the law, surprise, surprise, they were God's own people. They were you and I. We need to be very careful as Christians that in all the things we do not forget to stress the word of God. Let us not be afraid to say, as the old preacher said long ago, I need book, chapter, and verse. Not for some of the things that are done, but for all the things that are done to bring glory to God. That's only fitting. Book, chapter, and verse. When we inquire here in this 34th chapter and in the 35th chapter, we find out that the people who were being condemned by Josiah were priests, the Levites, the leaders, those who should have known the law, those who God had given the responsibility to preach and teach the law. These were the very people, to our surprise, who had neglected God's word. They had forgot the law. They had gone about to establish their own righteousness. They had lapsed back into doing what that fourth king, or maybe the first king of the divided nation, did. They went about setting up their own altars and establishing their own way to worship God. It doesn't work. That's a surprise. That's a third surprise. You know, Gomer would always say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Lastly, this morning, there's a third surprise that I need you to help me with. You know, a few months back, an 85-year-old lady that I've talked to you guys about before, she's my mother. I can remember telling you guys during some of my visits here how my mother had never obeyed the gospel. I can remember in one sermon telling you how she would travel to Louisville with me every Sunday for years, until I finally grew tired of her bothering me. Then she started traveling with my brother to Belvedere every Sunday. She would go to the Church of Christ meeting every Lord's Day, but she was not a member until about 3 months ago, 4 months ago. She called me one day, and she'd called my brother and my sister who lives there in the local area, and she said, Glenn's dad, Belvedere Church of Christ, the building there at Belvedere, and I'm going over there to get baptized. I must be honest, I thought she was pulling my leg. Because we've been encouraging her for the last 40 years to become a member of the Lord's body. 85 years of age, and she surprised us. And she obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Josiah, 8 years old, 16 years old, 20 years old. There's no certain age, whether you're 8 or 85. You can surprise someone this morning who might be sitting there beside you, who knows that they've been studying with you, that you've been attending worship here, that you're just that close Why not surprise them this morning by walking out and obeying the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Surely you've heard the truth. Surely you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh. It's our hope that your belief is strong enough that it causes you to return from sin, to repent of wrong. And then we hope you would have the courage to walk out and to publicly confess, as my mom did about 3 months ago, voice squeaking, "Yes, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And then the minister there, a young man who I taught the gospel to over 45 years ago, baptized my mom into Christ. We can do the same for you this morning. That baptism for my mom did the same thing to her that it did for Paul in Acts 22 and 16. It washed her sins away. Surprise, surprise, surprise. I hope as we prepare ourselves to stand and sing the song of encouragement that once again you'll surprise us. Why not do it now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement? Please come while we sing.